So, good evening, everybody. I have a longstanding minig speaking here to always say some kind of dvar halacha. And so I'm going to do a very, very truncated version, but it's also as a hagdama to the divrei hagadol. You'll see how I believe that it really links in. But very quickly, and this is a piece that's published in my safe on the Maseches Pesachim, that there's a sugya in the beginning of Brachos on the Tesham and Aleph. And over here, the Gemara asked a question: why didn't the Mishnah include Achilas Pesachim as one of the things that you can only do till Chatzos? The first Mishnah in Brachos says there's various things you can only do till Chatzos, mentioning it Agav Kriyas Shema. And the Gemara asked, why doesn't it say it? Mention also Achilas Pesachim. So the Gemara says it must be, it's going according to the opinion that you can't eat the Korban Pesach the whole night. In the course of that discussion, the Gemara brings a brisa with a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua about whether you can eat Korban Pesach till Chatzos or you can eat it all night. Now, in the main sugya in Maseches Pesachim, we're all familiar that this is a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And the Gemara here mentions them as well. But oddly, this sugya in Maseches Brachos introduces us to the fact that it's also a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and they bring a brisa. Now, again, this does not appear in Maseches Pesachim. It only appears in this the main beaten track place in Brachos. They bring that this machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is also machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, and they bring a brisa. In that brisa, it says that they bring the drasha for Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that you only can eat till Chatzos. How does he learn it out? Because there are three times in the pasuk. The pasuk says be'erev, it says kevoy Hashemesh, and it says moyet seischem Mitzrayim at night with the sundown. And on the anniversary of leaving Mitzrayim, those are three separate times. So he says like this: be'erevat zeveach. At night, or the evening before the night, you do the shechita. Kivoy Hashemesh at oichel. Once the sun goes down, you can start eating. And you can only eat till chatzos. U'moyet seischem Mitzrayim at the seref. Rashi explains that means in the morning you can burn it. So it comes out that it says openly in this Gemara, the way Rashi understands it, that even though, that according to this opinion that holds, you could only eat Korban Pesach till Chatzos, but it does not become nicer at Chatzos. It only becomes nicer in the morning. However, in Maseches Pesachim, in the main sugya devoted to this halacha, in the sugya which doesn't bring Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, it deals with the machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar and Azariah, that sugya says openly, in the Pesachim Daf Kufchav from the base, so the Gemara says, HaPesach Acha Chatzos Mitami Es Yadayim HaPigul Vanoise Mitami Es Yadayim. So the Gemara says, Amal Mechatzos Havalei Noise. Gemara says, you see that after Chatzos it becomes Noise, and that's why it's Mitami just like Noise. So the Gemara says, Mantana Am Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Mandamo holds that you can only eat till Chatzos, so it becomes Noise after Chatzos. So here you have an open steer between two Gemaras. We are our Gemara, at least the way Rashi understands the Gemara, it's not 100% open. But the pasuk, our Gemara, again, bringing a Tana Rabbi Eliezer was not brought over there. But this Tana holds that what you could only eat till Chatzos, but it's not nicer at that time. It only becomes nicer, it only considered left over in the morning. To the point where I believe the Arsameach considers that maybe you're allowed to eat it after Chatzos. You just don't get the mitzvah of Achil anymore, but you could eat it to avoid the lava of nicer. But in any case, so there's actually a half a night between the time you're done with the mitzvah and the time it becomes nicer. Whereas in the main sugya Pesachim, it says openly that once it stops being the mitzvah, it turns into nicer. So I explained in my sefer the following yisoid, that there's a machlokes between these two sugyas about the nature of the night of Pesach and the relationship of the Korban Pesach to that night. So that's what I'm saying, even though it is a halachic concept, I'm saying, but I believe it's going to link up to the Haggadah as well, and that's why this is a good segue from the halachas of Pesach to the Haggadah of Pesach. And I think that the Chazal in the sugya make that segue, as I'll explain in a minute. So the question is like this. Let's say you hold you can only eat half the knife. But so now, is what's going on over here? Is the pshat that this is the regular din that we have, that they are kachem and achom liyom echad? There are quite a few different karbonos that can only be eaten for one day. But for some reason, the Torah shortened it and only gave you half the night to eat it. Or is it, no. The carbon Pesach is so unique that it, and its time, its mitzvah, is its own thing. It doesn't go into the fall into the regular system of kachem. And it's not nechel shneyom, it's not nechel yom echad, it's not within the confines of the usual structures of kachem. It's his own thing. But achus a pesach balayla azeh, it's a special thing that's tied to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Had there been no other karbonos in the Torah, there would be this, and it's practically in the mitzvah category, like a lulav, rather than being in the classic carbon category. And so the sugyas in Shachem hold that Pesach is a new thing. No, about the Pesach is its own thing. So Mamela, the idea that you got a half a night to eat it, that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is, of eating this carbon relates to the whole CPT is Mitzrayim. It relates to all the things that went on that night. It relates to, and it is not affected or does not have in common the whole idea of being a kachin that's eaten in one day. It's nothing like that. It's not one day abbreviated. This is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is, just like there's a mitzvah of matzah and morah that we're familiar with, and we see in the Haggadah they tie the matzah and morah with the Pesach. Shad is, the Pesach is also in that category. It's like in the more in the world of mitzvahs than in the world of karbonos, and consequently it has that half a night. Once the half a night is over, it's out of commission, it's noisa, and that's the end of it. But the sugya and brachas, again, off the beaten path, Shaloi Kehilchasa, wants to show you that there's another mahalach, and that mahalach holds that the Chilul Pesachim is not that unique. Carbon Pesach is a little bit less unique. In some way, it's a regular carbon. And in fact, the Gemara is Yochel Yehenechel Kishar Kachim. In that Brisa it brings, maybe you could eat it like other kachim. And Rashi says, Kishar Kachim Yen Shchitasa Kederach Toida, Shaf Hiz Manachilos Yem Echad. Rashi says, Toida, like Pesach, also has this Manachil of Yem Echad. So Rashi goes out of his way to show you that the Gemara understood that it's really the same thing as Toida. Just for some reason they clipped you and they only gave you half the night. So Mamela, for whatever the cheshbon is, that they don't allow you to have the kiyum of the mitzvah after chatzos, but noiser it's not going to be until the next morning, because this is really an example of one of the kachim that's eaten in for one day, and at the end of the and limited, at the end of the night when the morning comes, it becomes noiser. But the fact that it's clipped at chatzos is not going to make it noiser at chatzos. So that's the halachic segment of it, but what it shows us an interesting little bit of an insight, and that's going to be sort of the hakdamah to what we do next, that it seems like that the sugyas in Pesachim, which the halacha follows, believe that the Torah made the night of Pesach somehow more individualistic in the chilas Pesach somehow stands out in a sharper way than this sugya in brachas that holds. Hey, listen, it's a carbon, things happen. Yom Tovim have carbonis, it's a lot of carbonis. It has some unique halachas, but it's a carbon. And so in a certain way, it's making it less. Okay. Now, in seemingly, derech agav, from this halachic sugya in brachas, they suddenly go into an agalata. And this agalata is very much quoted, and they always ask the exact same kasha. One of the things that I discovered, and I wrote several times approaches to try to answer that question. But one of the things that I've come to discover in recent years is that we tend to get hypnotized when there's a famous sugya with a famous kasha, so we stop thinking about the sugya. We just go to work on the famous kasha. And really, sometimes you have to say, forget the famous kasha. Let's start the sugya over and see whether maybe there's bigger kashas or a different direction than that famous kasha may be turn out to be more limiting rather than stimulating. So the Gemara says like this. Again, this is brought derech agav of this halachic sugya, and then it says like this. Dabino bozni amram ritvei rabbiana. Eino l'lashem b'kosh amalei kosh baruch l'moshe. Hashem said to Moshe b'makosh m'cholech v'mer lehem l'Yisrael V'bakosh mikem shalomi mitzrayim kli kesef kli zahav. So they make a chesed, even though it says Hashem said please to Moshe, but they dash that somehow that implies that he should say please to the Yidden. And why do you have to say please to tell them to go and collect all the gold and silver? You would think that people don't need a lot of encouragement to do that. So the Gemara says no, they really wish they were reluctant to do it. You'd rather just get out of there, not worry about that. But Hashem said, listen, I need you to do me a favor. It's important for me that they should collect the gold and silver. Why? So Avraham Avinu shouldn't have a tie on me, because he'll say like this, the bad stuff that they go into slavery and they're going to suffer, that I delivered. But the good part of getting the prize at the end, I didn't deliver. So Avraham will have tainus. So even though you guys would rather just get out of here right now, the Gemara says it's a muscle to guys getting out of jail. He doesn't want to hear about, you know, he's not suing for false arrest and looking for the payoff today. Today he just wants to get out of jail. Later he'll talk to his lawyer. It's a different question, right? But that's what the Gemara says. But let's look at the classic hasha that everybody is, and by I mean really everybody, to the point where you pretty much can't get your, you're not a card-carrying Achman unless you work on this kasha. They all ask that, wait, I don't understand. The only reason why Hashem has to keep the Avtocha is because Avraham will have tainus. You have to keep the Avtocha because you made the Avtocha. Right? Made Avtocha, you have to keep it. You know, just because they're nervous right now and they're not thinking about it and they're going to, you know, not use good judgment or maybe the kind of judgment that's only good in times of emergency. But the fact is, you made Avtocha, you have to deliver on the Avtocha. Nothing, you know, whether Avraham will complain or not, maybe Avraham's a nice guy, he won't complain. But the Avtocha should be what creates the obligation. That's the way the kasha is always set up. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that kasha. I'm not minimizing that kasha. But I realize that the mistake we're making is we're not asking stronger. The kasha is really much stronger than that. The kasha here really is that, what was the yes mekayim? It says, v'avod nevinu oitzim kiyim behem. That part was mekayim. V'achrechen yetzir b'chush god lo kiyim behem. But this party wasn't Mekayim. What do you mean this party wasn't Mekayim? What's the more important part of Achrich and Yetzu Rechush Gadol? The Rechush Gadol or the Yetzu? What is the Pesach all about? It's about the Rechush Gadol? Yeah, the holiday of Pesach is what? To celebrate the Rechush Gadol? No, it's to celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Yetzias Mitzrayim is what it's about. So V'achrich and Yetzir B'chush Gadol happens to be in the same sentence, but Achrich and Yetzir B'chush Gadol is not one din of Rechush Gadol, and Yetzir is a tuffle. Achrich and Yetzir B'chush Gadol is two dinim. One is Achrich and Yetzir, and one is Rechush Gadol. You know, and the bigger part is Achrich and Yetzir. What's more important in the big picture is the Yetzias Mitzrayim, that you got a few dollars. It's very nice. Could give you a few dollars in a different way also. They came to Eretz Yisrael, they found treasures in the walls there too. So, the Rechush Gadol, if anything, is secondary on the positive side. The main positive thing should be the Achrich and Yetzir. So, if any, now the same should Gemara wouldn't bother me so much if he would say, V'Achrich and Yetzir kiyem behem, Rechush Gadol kiyem behem. And that would fit better than it's only Yosef Tzadik, because after all, he did all the good stuff, the main part. The only thing is, there was an extra piece. He said the tzaddik will have a time on me. But instead, the Gemara said the opposite. The kiyum, the only thing he's willing to take credit for is avod avinu oisim. That's what he was mekayim. And the whole v'achrich and yetzir b'chush gadol lo kiyum behem. What do you mean? As long as you're doing the yetzir, you would think that's the main part of the achrich and yetzir. No. The truth is that the Haggadah, I think, the Haggadah, so Pesach, I think, clearly holds that the Achrich and Yetzir B'chush Gadol is to the end. It's not all about the Rechush Gadol. Because let's see, how's the Haggadah Shel Pesach set it up? It tells us that Baruch Shem Avtecha Shel Yisrael. It's Maradik, what Hashem did for us, unbelievable. Baruch Hamakim Baruch Hu. What did he do? He was chishev as a keretz. Last is k'mo shama Avraham Avinu b'bris v'enem son. He worked it out and he calculated it and he delivered on what he promised Avraham Avinu in the bris v'enem son. Right? What did he promise? Shenema v'yemel Avraham yodaya tedek geyer zarach beretz lo lehem. All right, that's not the part that we're excited about, right? But Avraham Avinu oisam, that's not the part we're excited about. Avraham Avinu, okay, at least that it ends. That's nice, but he's touching that the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim, that God is telling us the whole. He's summing up the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim that this what happened here, that the Hakadosh Baruch Hu was mekayim what he told Avraham Avinu, which is not the Rechus Gadol, not the cast, but the fact that this Yetzias is what it's all about. And so where is Yetzias Mitzrayim come from in the Torah? According to the Haggadah, it comes from Bris Ben Absarim. Right? That's where Yetzias Mitzrayim is from. It's from Bris Ben Absarim. According to our Gemara and Brachas here, it sounds down the other way. Fakert. Bris Ben Absarim is two factors. It's the bad stuff, and it's also the good stuff, part of Rechus Gadol, which is a bonus that if we'd like to have it to be Yetzias Zayin, we should please ask Avraham Avinu. But what happened to the Achachen Yetzu? What happened to the main sugya? Where'd the main sugya go? Right? And by the way, it sounds like David HaMelech himself says this Yisoid, the Pasas, in the Paschal Tillim. See, he seems to be saying this, he said, that V'achrichen Yetzir B'chosh Gadol is not one thing, it's two things. At least the way Rashi learns, beautiful, over here in Tehillim Kufei, it says like this, Pasuk Mem Beis. After it goes through the whole thing about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, it sort of sums it up, and it says like this, He zochar et dvar kotshoi, es Avram avdoi. Hashem remembered the holy word that he delivered to his servant Avram. V'yotzi amoi b'sosoin, Barina as Bechirov. He took the Jews out with joy and with happiness, those who he chose. And he gave them the lands of nations, and he gave them the property that other nations worked for. So Rashi says, He promised him, that's the pasuk of Kizachar Dvar Kodshei Avraham Avdei. And then he breaks it up into two psukim. One pasuk is Vayotzi Ami B'Sosoin Barinas Bechirov. That's the first part of Achrichen Yetzi Bechosh Gadol is the Yetzi. That's the important part. Vayotzi Ami B'Sosoin Barinas Bechirov. He remembered the bris and he took them out with Sosin and whatever the Barina, whatever that David HaMelech packs into that, all the Ramazim, but the pshat is that the Yetzias Mitzrayim is in that pasuk. And it leads him after Chen Yetzu. And then there's a new pasuk. Vayit lemaatz is going, v'amalu umim yirashu. Then amalu umim yirashu, that's the Rechus Gadol. Then on top of everything else, they even got a bonus that they cleaned out Mitzrayim from all the hard work that Mitzrayim put in from their economy, and especially based on our contribution, which they... And we got all of it at the end. That's the second part. That's the Rechus Gadol. So hey, beautiful. So it was beautifully laid out. That in the Tehillim of David HaMelech, good upketach, and that's really the basis of the Haggadah. I think the Haggadah of Avada learns this way. The Haggadah says that the whole Baruch Hashem of the Chassel Israel is the Bris Ben Absarim. It's the Achrichen Yetzu and the Rechus Gadol is secondary. It comes in later, and the Dayanus he throws in that he got Mamonim also. But the whole Pashas, the whole first Chelik of the Haggadah is all about it. Avodah Meinu Lefayr B'Mitzrayim and Ha'Tzionu, it's all about the Yetzia. And he's saying, where's the Yetzia from? Where's the Makkah? The Makkah is the Bris Ben Absarim. Our Sugihan Brachas is not giving that across at all. So it's not the sense of the Sugihan Brachas. So therefore I want to say that in Echanami, that the Agad of this Sugihan, now the main Sugihan is about Yetzias Mitzrayim and not Brachas. They are in Pesachim and in Seita. In Pesachim, connected with the halachic gemara about Pesach, and also in Sotah comes in by Shrabenu, it ends up being they set up some of the main sugyas, Yetzias Mitzrayim, at length, pasuk by pasuk, set up in Sotah. So here you have this one chazal is really way out of place, It's not in the main circuit of Yetzias Mitzrayim at all, and they sort of inserted it here in this Gemara in Brachas. Now, what did we say in the halachic analysis of the Gemara in Brachas? That the Gemara in Brachas here is in some way the hearing that Yetzias Mitzrayim was part of less somehow in what Achilas Trachim, whatever that is it's a carbon. But somehow it's a little bit less than what we hear in the main sugis of Shochem, which is that it's Balayla Zeh, it's a whole new thing. It has its own parsha, its own mitzvah. So somehow, the Gemara put into this sugis the idea that there's a one view that holds, in some way the Yetzias Mitzrayim might be less now. But it's hard to believe that the Chazal didn't give us more of a mafteach to the basis of this view. So I think that in another sugya, which is off the beaten track, is where they gave us the real makkah for this other approach. And again, this is not the approach that the Chazal being machriya, but it's an approach that they're recording, making us aware of a approach that in some ways minimizes, in some way, on some level, it makes Yetzias Mitzrayim a little less somehow. So what's the pshat? So I think that the marker is this Gemara in the Dharm. Again, this in the Dharm Daf Lamed Beis, this is not at all what you would expect us to be discussing with Yetzias Mitzrayim. So he comes in the Gemara like this: Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Neiman Nenesh Avram Avinu v'Nishtab Devonav leMitzrayim Asayim v'Esasham. Why was Avram Avinu punished that his children had to be enslaved by the Egyptians for 210 years? He was punished because when he went to war with Saddam, instead of hiring mercenaries, he took along his Talmidim from the yeshiva. These were the guys who he was learning Torah with, or whatever, exactly how you want to be marked, the people he's being makar, the people he's working with. So he wasn't supposed to take those people and use them as soldiers, put them at risk, or be involved with Torah, whatever the elements. The downsides are, if he felt that he has to go save life, and he felt that Hashem would help him, so he was supposed to hire mercenaries and take them along and win the war. He didn't have to take his talmidim along. That's Rabbi Avo in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Well, Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, "Mipnei shehifriz amidaisa shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu shenemar b'moed kiyirashena." Shmuel says that he went too far somehow. When he said to Hashem, "B'mo'edak yirashena," how am I going to know? Explain this to me. How am I going to have a clarity that I'm getting Eretz Yisrael, right? So that was a little bit. There was some kind of impression that he wanted to get it in writing, right? So there was some kind of concern there, and on that basis, Shmuel says that's why they were nanish to go to Mitzrayim. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says the third mahalach, Shehifrish bnei adam elikanas tachas kanfei hashchina. Rabbi Yochanan says that shenemar tein li hanefesh harachush kachloch. So Rabbi Yochanan says a really interesting idea, which he would never have thought of in a million years, that it was a time on him for giving the people from Sodom back to the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom, after Avram saved the nation from captivity, so the king of Sodom says, here's the deal. Let me have my citizens back, and I'll give you all the cash. It's a great deal. So Avram saw a moment here to really make a statement, and he said, I don't need your cash. Keep the cash. Right? I don't want to get your dirty money. They're going to say that I built up non-interest. Keep the cash. But the second half, he didn't finish by saying, and since I don't want the kids, give me the people. Since you see that he had some kind of a legal binding sovereignty over those people by virtue of the fact that he was the general who won the war. So essentially they had been captured already by the other kings. When he won the war, he was now the new captor. So theoretically he's now the king. And indicated by virtue of the fact that the king of Sudan himself was saying, listen, I'll tell you what, let me have the people, I'll give you the cash, because he has to buy the people back. And Avram didn't take the cash, so he should have taken the people. And the Chazal made it, that it would have been much liach. He could have taken a whole nation, and he would have been one of the greatest you know, why do you have to start a kiruv yeshiva with 10 shlepers who you could buy the whole yeshiva already, you got a whole crowd, buy it, and you're a Rosh Yeshiva tomorrow on the biggest kiruv yeshiva in the world, right? So that was the mistake that he made. But along comes the Rosh, and he says a very odd thing. The Rosh says, now, by the way, just to call your attention, and this is very, technical, inside baseball kind of thing, but it calls attention to itself. They first bring Rabbi Avo, I'm Rabbi Elazar, those are Amirayim from Eretz Yisrael. And then they bring Shmuel from Bavel, and then they go back to Rabbi Yochanan. This goes against the pattern of the Tzatz. Sometimes the Tzatz will bring a few Amirayim from Eretz Yisrael first, and then come back to Bavel and tell you what we hold in Bavel. That you see several places. But to bring someone from Eretz Yisrael first, Bavel in the middle, back to Eretz Yisrael, is not at all the practice of the Tzatz. So it calls attention to itself, something's going on. So along comes the Rosh, and he says in Chiddush, the Rosh says, the Rosh says everyone has to be moida that the main avera is b'moida. Now again, we saw three shittas. One shita says he shouldn't have taken the yeshiva baruchim to fight with Sidon. The other middle shita says b'moida, and the third shita says because he should have taken the people. So the Rosh said, no, everyone's moida that the main avera is b'moida. That's Pasha. It says Mufurish. He says Alpha Pisha Beres Anish Mufuresh. Mufurish. Bamaida. So he says, but they mean that these were the things that we got him to say Bamaida. So the Marsha says he doesn't understand why the Rosh is saying that, and he says, Faket, he holds that those other two mandamrim who don't say Bamaida is a problem. They probably hold like the Sugya Megillah and the Sugya Tainus, which Rashi mentions in Chumash, that says that when he said Bamaida, what he asked Hashem was going to protect the Yidden against losing it. And Hashem told him the Karbonis, and that's the Pshat in the Bris Ben Avsharim with the animals, is the Remez, that the Karbonis is the way you're going to protect it. So if you hold like those shittas in the Shas, there's nothing wrong with saying b'moeda. So the Marsha says he doesn't understand why the Rosh has to say that they all admit to b'moeda, but some hold that the others brought him to b'moeda. Then they bring in parentheses of Shmuel Kedanova. He asks the Kasha that what's the Rosh talking about that those are brought into b'moeda? According to the Chazal, that Moeda was when Avram was 70 years old, those other things happened later. So he says, how could the things that happened later bring him to Moeda? So they're all jumping on the Rosh. But I think the emphasis is that the Rosh is learning up to the Sugya Gevaldik. As long as you chap the premise, you have to chap the one premise. The one premise is that nobody holds like this Sugya. It's not that this is... they park the sugya here in the Dharam and now the whole Shas holds this way. And that everyone holds that that the Jews went to Mitzrayim as a punishment. No, of course not. Chas v'shalom. The main sheet of the Talmud Bavli is that we weren't in Mitzrayim because of Anoinus. Nobody did any Averit to go to Mitzrayim. We were in Mitzrayim because that was the Chasman. That's what the Eibishter did. Right? So the whole sheet that says that going to Mitzrayim is oinus, that Dr. Rush, that has to be the sheet that holds b'moeda is a problem, because this is the Bris Ben Avsharim. This is the whole beautiful thing. This is what it says in the Haggadah. Chishuv is a case. This is the whole connection between Hashem and Avram. It's all positive. So if it's all positive, where are you getting that there was an avera? This is in the beautiful interaction that Hashem delivered to Avram. How it's going to work? It says you have one minu oisim, so you're going to tell me that's from an avera? So Dr. Rush, al karchach, any man, this sugya that holds that if there was an avera with an oinus, is because it's built on his reading the pasuk of b'moeda and yudaya teda. In other words, they're dashing here like this. He said b'moeda, and David just says, aha, you're interested b'moeda, you got an issue with me, yudaya teda. You'll see already. You'll have to go in Avdus, and you'll have to go in Golas, and it's not going to be easy because you said Bamaeda. So the Rosh says there can't be any other man d'amo who holds this in einus unless it's from Moedah. Because why should you say this in einus? That's not the mahal. And if either the Rosh Sugis and Shas don't hold that there's an einus, they went to see some trying for einus. So this is a day. This is a das yochid that holds that there was an einus. And they're bringing a taka from these Amirayim from Eretz Yisrael, which Vayis says that we don't hold that way. So the only reason why they put Shmuel in the middle here is because Shmuel had to touch the longness of it. So they all need to come out to Shmuel. That's what the rest is saying. They all need to come out to Shmuel because Shmuel is explaining the word. What, where are you getting this idea that he's going to Mitzrayim as a punishment? Who ever heard of such a thing? The Torah is saying, no, it's in the Parashat, the Phareshas. He said, B'maidah, David said, told him, you're Doyateda. So that means that all the Avadim Vina Vaisam was caused by Avraham Avinu was saying Bamaida. If not for Avraham Avinu, we never had to go to Mitzrayim. If not for Avraham Avinu, Hashem told him you're going to get Eretz Yisrael, he would have gotten it. Whatever the Hachanas would have been, there would have been pleasant variety of Hachanas. Or maybe you'd have certain growing pains of trying to take over the land. It would be within Eretz Yisrael itself. Natural type of Chevloi Leda. Of conquering the land, where getting the upper hand against the Canaan, whatever it is. But this idea that you have to go into the Golas and have them anyway, and from there first you're going to get some cash and come back and try to fight to get the land, that only came because of Amoedah. So therefore, that even answers Rav Shmuel Kedmav, who says, it happened later. Because it doesn't matter that it happened later. The point is, later was a Gilui to whatever this concern is. You know, that brought Avram to not have the clarity that Hashem wanted from him, even if that's not mamish, but it has to be in there. It has to be because you said b'maida, I said yudayateda. So the Gili was later, like you see by, let's say, the brother of David HaMelech. So the Shah says that he didn't become the king because he showed kas. And then they bring that he showed kas later. It was sometime later when he actually showed the cast. But the point is, he had a midah like that. And so that's the midah that prevented him from being the king. So the same way here, the Yodayateda, the Bamoeda, that shows you that there was something in Avraham Avinu that needed fixing, that is Royat Anoinus. And it came out in these other things, in these other situations, you have to tie it, why those are manifestations of this concern. But that's what but I'm saying the Rosh, his whole Shtickel Torah is really because he's learning it in the Sugya. He's not saying his own word. He's saying that's up to Lanta Zurga. That's what's happening over here. What's happening over here is that his mind almost coming a tiny that it must be knowing this because he said Bamaida, David said, Yodayateda. And Salkarchuch, it comes out that could this Sugya in a million years be compatible with the Haggadah? The Haggadah comes and says, gives you the glowing report. That Baruch Habakkuk Baruch Hu, Shechisir is a case, the Kaim Hashem of Avraham Avinu, the Brisbane of Tzarim. The Haggadah that says the Brisbane of Tzarim is all the good news of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. That can't possibly be going like this Gemara. Because according to this Gemara, if I could, Brisbane of Tzarim is mostly the bad news. The Haftach of Eretz Yisrael we had before Brisbane of Tzarim. Right? It's only because Avraham Avinu raised some kind of quibble that it became necessary to revise the Avtacha and to package along with it a lot of negatives that we would have preferred to live without. Right? And it could be the Rechosh Gadol maybe was a shtickle bonus, probably if we didn't have to go to Mitzrayim, we wouldn't have to Rechosh Gadol. But so that's why the Gemara Bracha says that he's Mekind of Adam Inuit, so he has to be Mekind of Rechosh Gadol also to balance it out. But it's not that the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim is wonderful news from the Brisbane of Tzarim. Fakir, the Brisbane of Tzarim is what threw us into Mitzrayim. Eventually, you have to take us out. That makes Yetzias Mitzrayim somewhat less. If Yetzias Mitzrayim is something that happened to announce that the Einus is over, that is, so even in the halachic sense, the Gemara Deher, that it could actually affect the halacha of the Achilus Pesachim, could actually be affected by this worldview. That if you Deher, that Yetzias Mitzrayim, that we only Mitzrayim because of an Einus, and the main part, and the Brisbane of Tzarim is something we're not too proud of, other than the fact that you get the Rechosh Gadol from it, right? So then, in that world, night of Pesach is not as unique as what the Haggadah, but the Pesach is, and like the other. No, so by the way, so just to break it down, the Rashi Chumash is very good. Rashi, when it says B'mo'edah Ki Roshena, Rashi says that on one level you could read it to mean that he was raising an issue. But he says, the Chazal say that it's not, that he only was wanted in Ovid Shmira. And he brings that Gemara and Megillah and the Gemara and Tainus. The Gemara and Megillah and Tainus, the Gemara actually brings it also in halachic type of context. They're making it a very authoritative kind of a Chazal. That, and they say from there, that's why you should, you learn from that marker that when there's no Beis HaMikdash, you should also learn the Pashas, because that's the Shmira that Hashem told Avraham Avinu by the Bris Ben Absarim. So, there are two basic shittas on this. This Shas lets you know that other shita by bringing you this one Gemara in Brachos and Avtes, Agav, that halachic opinion that we don't go with. It also brings you this other Gemara from the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael that apparently were more behind this shita. It brings them in that sugya in the Nedarim, very much Agav. By the way, in the Nedarim, it's fit, you know, the Chazal, because the time of B'mo'edah, he said something wrong. So it shows up in the Sechs Nedarim. But the fact is that Fakert, the Haggadah, our Mahalach, and the is like the Sugya Shvat, there was nothing wrong with B'mo'edah. Fakert. He was looking for Shmira, what's going to be when they have Chataim later, and Hashem said to him, we'll give him Karbonis, and we'll build in certain security to see to it that they don't have trouble later. And as a result of that, Fakert, the B'mo'edah was good, and if the B'mo'edah is good, the Bris Ben Absarim is all good. So, why do we have to be Avodim? That's just the Mitzvah. And look at the Haggadah. It says, Avodim, you know the fire of Mitzrayim. That's just the way it was. That was before Avram ever asked anything. That had to happen. That was necessary in order to accomplish what Hashem has to accomplish. So, and for Kerem, we see on Hashem, the big favor is that he took us out of this Mitzvah. Not that if he put us in there because we did Einish, so eventually he took us out, it's a lot less of a favor than if we had to be there, because we had to be there, but he came and he took us out, and that's the halacha of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the hachra of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the haggadah that we have of Yitzias Mitzrayim is, no, we were there, we had to be there. But Be'etziyonu, Hashem came, was mardik, and so Fakir, like David HaMelech says, V'achrichen Yetzu is one pasuk, and Rechush Gadol is another pasuk, they're two separate, you know. Okay. So we have, I just want to conclude with a word, I say this word a lot, that it says that Moshe Rabbeinu, his name is only mentioned one time at the Derech Agav and the Haggadah, it's a big issue. Where's the name of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Haggadah? So I said a word like this, I said it a few years ago in Kal Chassidim, but it's worth repeating it again here. That at the end of the Haggadah we say, Chassal Sidu Pesach, Kilchase, it's a very interesting thing. Usually in the Torah, we don't pat ourselves on the back that we did a good job, right? But there is one exception in the Pasha of Bikurim and Videi Maisa. In that Pasha, the one place we say, Asisi Kachara Shetzivi Shani. It's one place in the Torah where you come back and you say to the Rabbanu Shalom that I did what you said. So over here in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, which the whole Haggadah Shel Pesach is based on that parasha of Mikra Bikurim and Vidi Maisa, we take the Haggadah Shel Pesach from Arami Avidavi, from the Pesukim and Kisavai, describing the Tzias Mitzrayim. So we also finish with this kind of a nusach that Kechom is Sparta V'chukase, we did it right. And so it's interesting there that such a word and that there's a Hashlomi, we came to Eretz Yisrael, we came in and we could say Asisi Kacharos Yitzivi Sani. There's a Hashlomi in showing that the mitzvahs came Lidekiyam. So the same way is a reflection of it in the Leil Pesach that we say, you took me out, you gave me mitzvahs, and I did the mitzvahs. That's part of the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. This is the exception when you can't pat yourself on the back. But in there it describes Hashem as Zoch Shoichen Ma'ina. It says that Hashem is a pure essence that resides in the Moin. Now the Moin, according to the Gemara Chagiga, is only one out of the seven Rekiyim, the seven heavens. The Moin is one of them. It's interesting that he chooses to identify Hashem as being in the Moin. Now going with the Chesmen of the Pasha, that of Arami Avravi, that Pasha also says Hashkifim Emoin Kotzchem and Hashemayim. So that Pasha does also mention the Moin. But I think there's an extra in the Kuda here that the Baal HaGadol is trying to be meramis us. We saw Rashi in Parshas Pekudei, and then later he says that it meramis in Parshas Shmini. But in Parshas Pekudei, Rashi says that Tefila L'Moshe Sholikim, the capital tzaddik in Tehillim, Tefila L'Moshe Sholikim, that the Chazal hold that means Moshe wrote it, not that David wrote it about Moshe. It means Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it himself. So, and there's a Gemara in Baba Basra that said Moshe was a part author of the Tehillim. It doesn't mention which part, but Rashi says it means the 11 prakim from beginning to the Moshe. And even the Rabbeinu Gershom, who doesn't seem to hold all 11 prakim, but Tefillah L'Moshe, the Chazal Shita is that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Tefillah L'Moshe. Not, it wasn't David writing about Moshe. So along comes Ibn Ezra, he's a skeptic, you know, he, on the level of Shad, he's not going to buy the Chazal unless he decides that he worked it through and they're right. So he's on the level of Shad. So otherwise he consigns them to Duris and he says it's upshot. So Ibn Ezra says, I looked at Tefillah L'Moshe and I decided, like the Chazal, that Moshe wrote it. He says, what's my right that Moshe wrote it? He says, because it begins by saying, Hashem mo'in ato yisalonu l'der v'der. And in the Chumash, at the end of V'zayis HaBracha, Moshe's Rabbeinu's last poetry, it says over there, Ma'in Elokei Kedem. So he said, that's the pshat. He signs off with Ma'in, and he picks up where he left off in, when he goes to Ksuvim, which the Yalkut says is the things that he wrote in Ksuvim are some lower level of Nevuah. They can't appear in the Chumash. They appear on the level of Ksuvim. So he left off, Ma'in is his sign off, and Ma'in is the way he picks up. So Fizeh, I wanted to say that that's the pshat, that God is telling us that, yeah, we didn't say Moshe Rabbeinu's name, but you know why we didn't say Moshe Rabbeinu's name? Because we gave him the bigger compliment of making the whole Haggadah be from Sefer Dvarim that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. The Haggadah could just as easily have been set up working the Pesukim of Sefer Shmois, right? And if anything, it seems weird sometimes when they're dashing the Pesukim Dvarim is based on that Pesukim Shmois. So why don't you just read me the Pesukim and Shmois and tell me the Haggadah. Instead, you're reading Dvarim, Arami Ovidavi, and you're analyzing, oh, this refers to that Pesukim and Shmois, this refers to that Pesukim. The Torah says, because the whole Haggadah is essentially Moshe Rabbeinu's version of Yetzias Mitzrayim, how Moshe Rabbeinu heard Yetzias Mitzrayim, how Moshe Rabbeinu wrote up Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? And you see, now, it's always a little uncomfortable to say Moshe like wrote Sefer Dvarim on his own, you know, because it's still part of the Chumash, but the Chazal say that he was makel on the kolos because the Hashem even gave him leeway to change the kolos a little bit. So Hashem gave him really the leeway to be in essence the author of Sefer Dvarim, and Hashem signed off on it. So the pshat is, we set up the whole Haggadah written by Moshe Rabbeinu when the writer doesn't brag about himself, you understand? So the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu is not there is not to remind him, it makes him more central. We don't even want to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim except the way Moshe Rabbeinu himself set it up and understood it and explained it. That's our understanding of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because it's all, he's the one who did it and he's the one who understands it. And therefore we sign off Zach Sechem Ma'ina, because Ma'ina is the insignia of Moshe Rabbeinu's writing.